time to kick off a little KCIM Sports Rewind. A half hour of, well, three guys sitting around talking about things, our feelings, you know, how sports makes us feel. You know, a touchy-feely kind of program,
you
right?
You know, every guy listening right now just turned it off.
You don't think I just checked out mentally right there? Let's not kid ourselves. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Lankman.
And I'm Mason Nealon.
We're going to get that right one of these weeks. I swear we're going to do it. I got seven more shows left, so.
That's it?
We're going to get this right sometime.
You know, so. It's sad that he's counting down.
Well, yeah. I just happened to look the other day. So, anyway, we're going to be talking about a whole lot of football playoffs and volleyball playoffs. Cue the Jim Mora.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
That's for one dude out there.
You know he's listening.
Yeah,
and he's going to text. You know that.
He will, yeah. And generally it's a gesture more than words.
Right, so, yes.
Mm-hmm. We got football, volleyball to talk about, but we're going to start with a little national sports. Brian Kelly, the latest to get the axe in college football. I mean, we're talking just a crazy number of coaches that have lost their jobs. LSU, Penn State. I mean, we're talking probably Colorado, Auburn, Wisconsin, Kentucky, North Carolina State, Florida State, all expected to kind of join the ranks of jettisoning their coaches.
You really think that Deion's done?
I think so.
Really?
I think he quits.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he's, now that his kid isn't there anymore, it's just not a place he's going to stick with, I don't think. So, and honestly, Colorado's kind of underperforming right now.
They are.
Unless he just vastly turns it around with a lot of money, I think he's gone. But Brian Kelly, the latest, have you seen what that dude is getting?
$50-some million?
$58 million, or $54
million. He had a $100 million buyout.
2032,
right?
They're going to be paying $800,000 a month. They're going to be cutting him a check for until the year 2032.
Does he retire? Or do you think he goes off and coaches somewhere else?
He will go on and just fake an accent somewhere else at some other school. So, I mean, he spent 10 years at Notre Dame and then figured I can't win a championship at Notre Dame. Went to LSU and wow, that did not work out well for him.
No. The question I've got with all these high profile jobs that are open already and probably more to come at the end of the year, there's not that many elite level coaches. So who do they fill these jobs with and can they hire somebody that's, you know, better than the guy that they decided? I still look at Penn State and I'm like, are you going to get somebody better than James Franklin?
The name I've heard, and I see this all over social media, is everyone's trying to entice Kiffin to leave Ole Miss and have Kiffin go to LSU or Penn State. And I'm like, if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm sitting planning at Ole Miss and saying, you know what, I'll make my money here and I'll try and win a title here, because I don't think the job at either of those schools is more enticing than Ole Miss at this point.
Florida might be a little bit more because they play out of the SEC. But, yeah, Penn State, I don't know if that one's the choice or not. I saw Joel Klatt the other day, and I'm not a huge fan of his, but he goes, hey, swing big. Go for Nick Saban.
Right.
See if he'll come out of retirement. And Nick Saban's wife joked, says, well, we haven't seen an offer yet. Can you imagine the offer to try to get Nick Saban out of retirement?
Yeah, back out of retirement. Yeah, I don't think he'd do it simply because I don't think he likes that it's an even playing field now money-wise. When he was at Alabama, they could pay everybody, and they were paying everybody more than everybody else. So he had kind of an uneven playing field.
Yes. That they gave out. I mean, they had way more in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
Than anybody else, pretty much.
Well, they just cut guys. That's kind of how they did it, is they'd pay them, and then if they weren't good enough, they'd just cut them or bury them or something of that nature. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw on social media, somebody's like, if you're LSU, throw enough money at Nick Saban where he has to refuse the offer instead of,
I mean,
it's the same money you gave out to your last coach, throw that same at Saban there and say, you know what, if you refuse this, then so be it. We'll go find somebody else.
Yeah, the question I've got is, I know like the schools in Texas with all the oil money probably are never going to run out of money. But like, where does Penn State come up with, where do these schools come up with all of this money, and when does it get to be where the boosters are like, okay, I'm tired of paying players and buying off $100 million coaches and then having to pay $150 for another coach. When does that get to be the limit? Because we've got, you almost feel like we've got to be getting close, but we've been saying that for 10 years.
I think it's something's got to shake with the universities in regards to these college coaches' contracts.
Right.
You can't continue. If they do not perform up to standards and you have got to get rid of them, I mean, yes, they're negotiating guaranteed contracts, but the schools have got to stop that.
Right,
yeah. They've got to say, hey, if we don't reach this number of wins, you're on the line for this.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's expectations that we have because that's why you're making $100 million.
Yeah, those $100 million buyouts are just, it's wild. It's absolutely wild right now. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd sit here and I'm like, who's going to, you know, if I'm a really high, if I'm Lane Kiffin, would I want to go to Penn State where they pretty much have told you if you don't win a national championship, you're not doing good enough?
Mm-hmm. I know. That's just it. It's all or nothing anymore.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, you can add Virginia Tech, UCLA, Arkansas, and Oklahoma State and Stanford to all that list.
Right.
So, I mean, with that, it's going to get insane this offseason. Which coaches are switching schools?
Right.
Which ones are going to be brought up from different levels? I mean, you can't just keep recycling the old coaches, right?
Well, and if you listen to a really diehard Hawkeye fan, you can throw them into the mix because he told me the other day that Kirk is retiring at the end of the year.
Ah. I would say, is Kirk taking a job somewhere else?
Yeah, no. Kirk will never leave, but that's what I've had a few Iowa fans tell me, and one of them was pretty secure in his thoughts the other day that Kirk is going to retire at the end of the season, and that Iowa job is going to be a pretty good job.
It'd be a good job in the Big Ten. No, it's not the premier job, obviously, but this week, huge week for your Hawks, man. They are on the upswing. They just demolished Minnesota. That, to me, was a more impressive win than the win against Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, that one was just all around good. I think Gronowski's kind of hit his stride here, but now this week, biggest challenge you're going to have up until this point. I think Indiana was a challenge, but I think that Iowa played really well against Indiana and kept it really close, and I can't tell if that's Iowa playing well or if Indiana just didn't play well. And so I think that this week will kind of show where Iowa actually falls in the standings.
I think Iowa matches up well against teams like Indiana and like Oregon, and I think with their defense and their special teams, that's the reason why they're able to give those teams such a good run and occasionally knock them off. So if I'm Oregon, I certainly come in knowing that you're going to have to play really well to beat that Iowa team. I think they're playing extremely well. Now, I think Minnesota gave everything they had the week before in embarrassing my Huskers, and I don't know if they had much left in the tank either. So,
all right, little coaching roulette here. Will they or won't they be there next year? Kirk Ferentz.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes, he will be in Iowa?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Just for argument's sake.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Rhule, Nebraska. Is he going to be at Nebraska next year?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that losing that way, took the shine off of him,
right.
Penn State. Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Is he going to be there next year?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm 50-50.
Are you really?
I really am. With all those openings that are out there, I mean, it has to happen sometime.
Right.
Is the guy going to become the next Kirk Ferentz? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the Iowa State people I talked to, and a really good friend of mine played for the Cyclones back in the 90s, and he said that he really believes that Campbell is there to prove that you can win and win at a really high level and get into the playoffs and win a national title at Iowa State. So.
Yeah, since the playoffs have been expanded, I mean,
right.
Yeah, they're still a ways away. Clearly, they've lost their third straight game.
Yes.
And they looked good in the first half, not so good in the second half last week. So.
Is that going to hurt him, though, a little bit with the team dipping this year with all these big jobs? Are people still going to want him with the program dipping this season?
Is a program like Penn State going, no, we're doing, or is that going to be, hey, you built something out of nothing there.
Right. Yep.
And you've got the personality we want. I think that translates well to a big university like Penn State.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a 50-50 chance that he leaves at the end of the year. So just my own personal opinion.
Yep.
So where do we want to start? Volleyball or football playoffs?
Wherever you lead us.
All right. This is a dangerous game you're playing here. Let's talk football playoffs.
Okay.
Of course, four teams in action last Friday night. So doubleheader right here. Another doubleheader coming up this Friday night, except they're going to be broken up on two of our stations.
Yes.
But Kemper looking impressive again in the first round. Got away BCIG coming in. They know these guys. I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a comfort factor for Kemper, Mason.
Yeah, I mean, away BCIG late in the season made the switch to put Jackson Texas unit quarterback. He was their tight end receiver kind of position early in the season and didn't really have a big game against Kemper, but now we got at quarterback. I know he ended the season with a 4-touchdown game here, and I think that if you're Kemper, you have the mindset of, well, we've already beaten these guys. We know what they're going to do. Let's just go out there and do what we did already. And, I mean, the Kemper defense has kind of been something that, you know, has been a little bit of a struggle, so I think that that's where they're going to have to start and say we need to play a little bit better on the defensive end and go out there and maybe make sure DeJean doesn't go out and explode for 4 touchdowns.
And I think their defense, I agree with you 100%, Mason. It's been the area that everybody you talk to all season long has been like, if there's a weakness for this Kemper team, it's on the defensive side of the ball. And then last week in their opening round playoff game against Grandview Christian, they go out and get 5 turnovers in the first half and 7 for the game. And it was the defense that really won them that game. So I don't know if maybe the defense is hit their stride now at this point of the season. But, yeah, they'll be tested by OABCIG. But if you're Kemper, you got to love your pod. You know, Unity Christian under 500, Cherokee and OABCIG, the other two teams in that pod. You've beaten both of them and thoroughly earlier in the year. So you got to feel really comfortable that if you go out and do what you're capable of and show up focused and ready to play, that you've got to feel in great shape about making the Dome.
Yeah. Who's after OABCIG? Is there anybody standing in the way for Kemper?
Prairie City Monroe.
Yeah.
Are they going to be that big of a
for
them?
Yeah. Prairie City Monroe is a traditional power. They're a big, big physical football team with a lot of really good athletes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the team that everybody keeps pointing at as, you know, it should probably be the state championship game would be Kemper against Prairie City Monroe.
Who's got the home field advantage there?
It would be at the Dome.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, yep. So I but Prairie City Monroe is probably closer to Cedar Falls than what Kemper is. But you know Kemper's going to bring a huge, huge crowd.
Yeah. Audubon, our other undefeated team last week, they rolled through the first round anyway.
Yeah, and you look at that score, it was 58-20, but I think going into the fourth quarter alone, it was 58-6, and their first string for Lennox was still out there, and Audubon had said, you know what, this game's out of reach. Let's go put our second string guys in there. Gave up 2 touchdowns, but at the start of the game, I was worried because they force a punt, and Jordan Nowatzki takes it down. Aiden Kiergaard rushed it at 6-0. Then right after, they kick it straight, line drive to one of the guys there. I think his name's Laramie Stokes. Stokes breaks a gap, rushes all the way down for a kickoff return. It's 6-6. And I go, okay, maybe this one's going to be a little bit of a game. And then Mason Kasperbauer goes out and puts up 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on both ends of the ball there and kind of really helps, because I think that what Sean Burks had said this morning is that he saw that the defense was keying in on Aiden and said that, you know what, we're going to stop him. And then Mason went out there and really had a great night.
Montezuma up next for the Wheelers. Don't know much about Montezuma.
You got a little bit from Coach this morning.
He says that they're going to have a pretty good offense. He says that they have taller receivers and their quarterback can really make plays on his feet and kind of elongate plays that aren't supposed to be longer than they are. But he says that their offense is good. Defensively, they're going to bring a bunch of different schemes. They'll run a 3-down line, 4-down line. They'll try and beat the run there. But I think that Audubon, you know, they're Audubon. I mean, that's just how it has been this season. They've just been beating teams traditionally by a lot of touchdowns and a lot of great defensive games.
Did it give you a team that they compare to, Montezuma?
Not really a team they compare to, but he says it's a team that should have been a 1 seed. He says that, you know, it's a team that lost early in the season to another team in their district and fell down to a 2 seed there. So it's a team that can play like a 1 seed, but is kind of casted down as that 2 seed.
All right, everybody else in the playoffs didn't have a real successful opening round, but everybody had to hit the road.
Yeah, and everybody had long travels. The first game I'll talk about is that game that I kind of joked during my broadcast the other night that I thought they were both going to hit 90 in the game, but Coon Rapids Baird had to play without Caden Oswald on Friday night and still showed the character that they had. They end up falling at Clarksville 78-68.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got that game tied late in the first half and then got down by 2 scores, and then Coon would score, and then Clarksville would score. So they just kept kind of pulling it within one and never could get it under that 2-score thing. So ended up falling in that one, but played really well. Arweva scored right away against Gladbrook-Rhinebeck and led late in the first quarter 7-6. And then Gladbrook-Rhinebeck, I think, exploded for 30. It was 28 or 30 in the second quarter to put that ball game away. So both Arweva and Coon Rapids Baird saw their seasons come to an end. I Cam Manning dropped down 21-0 right away up at West Sioux. Battled back, ended up losing 45-27, and that one actually had more yards of total offense than what West Sioux did in the game. So once they settled in, they played pretty well.
Yeah, and I looked at stats-wise. Ben Ramsey right now leading all of Class A in passing yards after this week, and Ashton Arnholtz, I think, number one in receiving yards as well after this week. So, I mean, that duo right there, just wanted to give props to them before we kind of move on with Cam Manning. That duo, absolutely on fire this season.
And I just a bad start did him in.
Yeah, it did. And just before I came in for the show here, I posted a recap interview with Coach McCarville, a recap in the season, so people can go and listen to that if they want online on the podcast center. Class 1A, ESAC, I know they ended up losing 48-6, but the one thing that jumps out to me about it was they nearly scored at the end of the first half, got down to the 15-yard line and turned it over on downs. And Dale Wagner, the great writer from the Sac City paper, sent me a text that night because he does a really good job of texting and keeping me up to date with what's going on the ESAC game, so I want to give him a shout-out for that. But he texted and he goes, the chain gang just told me that that's the closest that anybody's come to scoring against West Lyon in the first half all season long. So kudos to ESAC County to take a team that nobody's threatened against all season long and threaten them in the first half. And then South Central Calhoun falling to Underwood. I just don't think they could stop the pass game the way it sounds the other night in that loss. And we'll talk with Coach Case and recap the season with him. But a tough loss for them as they ended up falling 54-8.
Mental note that Blankman has spies all over the place, so don't mess up. Carroll High, they wrap up a district championship against Atlantic.
Yeah, and looked impressive in doing so. The run game was really strong. The defense creating turnovers. Got to give a shout-out to Matt Collison. Had a couple of interceptions in that game and played really well. And their offensive line is fun. Gavin Holt, you know, career numbers, one carry, 1 yard, one touchdown.
That's retire. Yes. Make that, you know,
yes.
That's it.
So, but that was pretty cool. They drove down the field on their first possession, and then usually Gavin, if he goes into the backfield, they use him as a blocker, but they decided to hand off to him, and he was able to punch that one in for a touchdown, so congratulations. But I think Carroll's sitting in pretty good shape. I know Nevada's not going to be an easy game on Friday. I will admit, I know they're sitting 7-2. With volleyball last night, tonight, and then again tomorrow night. I'll do my prep for that game coming up more on Thursday. So I haven't really dug into Nevada, but I know that's a good, solid team. And then if they win, more than likely they would get number one Clear Lake on the road probably in that quarterfinal round matchup. So not an easy pod, but I think the Tigers a team capable of maybe making some noise and surprising and maybe shocking some people.
Yep, and coming up this Friday, again, it's another doubleheader at the Carroll Athletic Field. Again, it's going to be Kemper that starts the night.
Yeah, they'll start at 5 o'clock. Our pregame coverage is going to be about 4:25. We're moving games around a little bit this Friday because we only have three teams playing. So we're going to have the Kemper game here on KCIM. Part of the reason I did that is because the second game the other night didn't start until well after 8 o'clock, so it was after 10 o'clock when that second game ended. So I want to try and get it where the scoreboard show guys can start at 10 o'clock and stuff. So we're going to have the Carroll game over on KKRL. So I have both of them covered, but instead of both being on KCIM this week, we're going to put Kemper on KCIM and then Carroll High over at on 93.7 KKRL. And then we'll have the Audubon game covered as well, and that'll be on Kick 106.7.
Covered by who?
Mr. Nick Brinks.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Mr. Willie Nelson Award winner, Nick Brinks, with the call there.
We should get him a Willie Nelson t-shirt, let him wear it.
He wanted me to do an REO Speedwagon on the road song, and I'm like, no, we're doing Willie. That's what we're doing. This is not a democracy when it comes to music that I play.
Yeah, he is
a
diehard REO Speedwagon
fan. He really
fan,
is.
Yeah.
He's been a roadie for him.
Yeah.
When they were up at Celebration, he went up and did like the setup and the road crew.
Right, yeah.
And Nick loves REO Speedwagon.
Yes, he does.
So anyway, that wraps up the football playoffs. That's coming up on Friday night. So let's talk a little volleyball. We'll do that next on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Getting real tired of that. Real tired. I don't know why I keep playing it.
It is one of the funniest ones. Him and Dennis Green were probably two of the funniest coaches.
They are who we thought they were. That probably went over your head, Mason.
Yeah.
Remember Denny Green now?
No.
Minnesota Vikings. Actually, the Arizona Cardinals coach.
Yes, he was Arizona at that time, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk a little volleyball playoffs. I tell you what, there is a monster matchup tonight. But
yes.
How did we get here? Tell us about the last week volleyball-wise.
Well, we'll start with Kemper. Cruise to a win against Seidel, and then cruise to a win against Des Moines Christian as they're playing really, really well right now.
Is there a concern that they haven't been pushed lately going into this matchup?
No, because their last regular season game was up at Sergeant Bluff Luton, who was ranked pretty high, and they ended up winning that one 3-1. So I'm not overly concerned about that. What concerns me probably more is just the level of the team that's coming in here for the regional final. When the pairings were put out, Unity Christian wasn't ranked in the top 10. So you looked at it and you went, okay, number 6 against about number 12 or so. So that kind of makes sense. But Unity Christian being Unity Christian, this is a team mm-hmm. that traditionally makes state just like Kemper does. They went on a run at the end of the year and some of the teams in front of them got beat.
Shockingly.
So now you've got number 6 Kemper hosting number 7. Unity
yeah.
Christian for the right to go to the state volleyball tournament. So it's going to be a test.
Is this program not like what it used to be, just to take a little step back, Unity Christian?
Maybe, and the other part of it is you just look at how good volleyball is up there, that they may be really good and just played an extremely tough schedule. You know, you got Western Christian and MOC and Sioux Center and a lot of traditional programs up there. And so I might have had an injury at some point in the year and that player now coming back or something. They're going to be good, and it's going to be a test. This will be a barn burner. I will be shocked if we don't go 5 tonight.
That would be, expected,
yes.
would think, all the way around.
Yep.
How about everybody else?
Mason?
Well, we have a couple of teams still alive with Coon Rapids and ICAM Manning. I think that Coon Rapids, you know, they went up 2-0 last night and then fell in the third set. And then played it really close, kind of through those middle sets there, and then won 3-1. ICAM Manning, I'll let Jeff talk about. But for Audubon last night, I thought that they played really well against St. Albert. I thought that St. Albert's outside hitters really shined well there, and it was just kind of a struggle for Audubon to stop those outside hitters there. But I just want to congratulate them on the season that they had. A little bit of up and down for the season, but I feel like they kind of got everything together at the end of the way.
And Harlow Miller put together another really strong performance, the way it sounded last night.
Yeah, I think 18, 17 kills. And Molly let me know this the other day, but broke the single season record for most kills in a season for Audubon. She was at 419, so I think somewhere around 430, 435-ish for the season there. So broke the single-season record for there, and they had a couple of other girls reach some milestones recently as well.
Yeah, we'll try to get all that information for our Rewind All-Star event and stuff here in a few weeks, and I'll try to type that up in the recaps, but it's going to be hard to try and catch every little record that everybody broke this year because we had a ton of them. You mentioned Coon. Got a really nice, strong performance last night from Aaliyah Clayburgh, finishing up with 27 kills to go with 14 digs. Ella Heidoff was fantastic with 22 digs, and Amelia Cook was named our Culver's Player of the Game last night. I know Casey Miners said that she was setting some fantastic balls last night, finished up with 48 assists. And then, of course, you always have Anna Hart as well with 30 digs. So a good, strong performance from them. They'll take on number 1 St. Ansgar now coming up on Wednesday night. Mason will have that broadcast. They're going to play that up in Algona, and that's going to be on Kick 106.7. I went up to Ottawa last night at IK Manning in West Monona, and Hi, Cam Manning struggled with serve receive in that first set. Just had, you know, had to adjust what Wes Monona wanted to do, as Coach Cron said after the match, that you can watch them on film and kind of have an idea what they do, but until you actually see it, sometimes it's hard to adjust. But they were able to do that. Came back in set two after losing the first set 25-17. Took the tip away and the dump away, started to serve receive well, and got Addie Bando going along with Keegan Ashide on the outside. I thought Caitlin Bando last night was absolutely fantastic in the middle. The Wolves come back to win three in a row. Addie Bando ended sets two and four with a kill, and Keegan Ashide ended set three with a kill. So Bando had 19 kills, and Ashide finished up with 14 kills last night. But I thought Caitlin Bando, I mentioned her, she's usually known kind of more as a defensive player, had three blocks, which is something that she does well, but had seven kills last night, which is a season high for her. So if she doesn't step up and play the way she did last night, they may not advance in that. And then Carly Arp, just a fantastic setter, did a really nice job for them. They'll now play Janesville coming up tomorrow night up at Fort Dodge. I'll have that broadcast for everybody on KKRL.
Say you're lucky it's not in Janesville or something.
I know. Yes.
That's over by Cedar, just north of Cedar Rapids.
Just north of Cedar Rapids. I'm surprised it's even in Fort Dodge, because it almost seems like it's a closer drive for ICAM Manning, really, than it is Janesville. But it may not be. Maybe they're close enough to 20 that they can just shoot straight across.
Yeah. So that's a break for you, too.
Yes, absolutely. And then East Sac County ends up falling last night to Applington Parkersburg. I know I talked with head coach Brandon Steiger a little bit through text after the match, and he said, we started slow. He said, I thought we played pretty well after that, but he says Applington Parkersburg's kind of a juggernaut and just didn't make any mistakes last night. So the Raiders will finish up the season 18-15 as they fall in that game last night 3-0. So.
All right, so coming up tonight, you got Unity Christian, Kemper. That'll tip off at first serve at 7 o'clock. 6:40 is our pregame over on Kick 106.7. Give me the keys for tonight. What does Kemper have to do to get by this team?
Serve receive well. I think they've got to get some touches on the attack attempts. J.D. Barrow comes in with about 330 kills on the year, hitting about 360 for a kill efficiency. So they're going to have to get some touches. That'll make things easier for the back row. Even if they don't get touches, you got to get the block closed. You can't yet let Unity get going. And then, like I said, serve receive, to me, everything starts there. If you serve receive well, you're going to put Elsa T. Pintoller in good shape, and they have so many hitters with Mariah Houghton and Colby Peter and Addie Antover and Zoe Bruning and Brianna Wittrock. It's weird to think of Brianna about fourth when she's our reigning player of the year, but that's just how deep this team is this season. So I think if Kemper goes out and plays the way they're capable of, I think they'll be fine. It's just not going to be an easy match.
How about Coon Rapids Baird, Mason? What do they need to get a win tonight? Or on Thursday night, rather. Wednesday night, excuse me.
I think that with Malia Clayburgh, the player that she is, she's going to get going early there. And I think that some other girls for them on some hitting aspects are going to have to step up. Somebody like an Aubrey Hoffbauer is going to have to put up probably double digits in the kills there as well. And I think that their serve receive has to be good as well. Because, I mean, when you look at St. Ansgar, they're number one for a reason there. So you're going to have a good serve receive, get it up to Amelia Cook. And then I think it's going to be Malia Clayburgh and Aubrey Hoffbauer having to kind of go back and forth for that one.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to step up. I don't think you can beat St. Ansgar with just Malia going off for 25, 30, 35 kills. Somebody else is going to have to. And that's in any sport. You know, a lot of times a team's going to try and shut down your best player, and it's always that other player that steps in that has the big night that helps you win. So.
Yep, and IKM Manning, as you mentioned, Janesville at Fort Dodge.
You've got to serve receive well. I think that's the key, and then you've got to get Addie Bando and Keegan Ashide started. And they've got to have, they probably both have to have somewhere between 13 and 18 kills, and then you've got to have either Ella Langle or Caitlin Bando or Macy Gruen. Somebody else has got to step up and have that 4-8 somewhere in that ballpark to kind of give them another weapon on the night. So, but again, for me, both teams, all of the teams, it starts with serve receive.
All right, so the game's once again tonight, the Unity Christian Kemper game on Kick.
Yeah, I forgot to mention when I was mentioning ESAC. Caitlin Schmidt finished up her career last night with exactly 500 kills in her career, so congrats to her as well.
Nicely done, yeah. The postseason matchups will start on Wednesday night. Kick 106.7 is going to carry the Coon Rapids game. KK IKRL. We'll have the IKM Manning game on football playoffs Friday night. It's Kemper here on KCIM starting at 4:25 pregame, 5 o'clock kickoff. KKRL is going to carry the Carroll game, the second half of that doubleheader, and Kick 106.7 will bring you Montezuma at Audubon. Also, state cross country happening on Saturday, Mason.
Yeah, we got the entire ESAC boys team there. It starts on Friday as well with Iris Melody up at Fort Dodge, I believe, is where they're running.
Yep.
And I'll be up there at about 10:45, bright and early. I don't know if I can get up by 7.
Man, you're going to need to set an alarm for that.
I'm going to have to call him and make sure that he's awake.
I have to get on the road at, what, 7:30 to be
up
there?
Yeah, about 7:30 to be up there on time to be able to cover Iris on Friday. So Mason's going to have a long day because he's got to scramble up there. He's got to, you know, cover Iris and then get back to help out with football coverage and stuff on Friday night.
Got to get all the stuff on the back end ready, and then I'm going to take some video highlights of both the Carroll and the Kemper game and throw some stuff out on social media.
And then he'll be over helping with the scoreboard show on Friday night. And then we've got the entire ESAC boys team Saturday afternoon. So Mason and I will both run up there on Saturday and cover those guys. So
busy, crazy busy once again. West State football semifinals, when do they happen at the Dome if potentially we get some teams there?
The 14th?
Yeah, the 14th, I think.
It's the day I'm gone. The 14th, I think.
That would be a Friday.
Or the 15th.
Yeah, so actually, our quarterfinals would all be the 7th, and then I think, or the 6th and 7th. So I think it might even be the 12th or something like that, or the 13th, because the 8-man playoffs will start a day or two before that, because you're going to spread them out throughout that week. So it would be the week of the 12th, 13th, and 14th, and 15th is the first days of the semifinals.
All right, so there you have it. That is KCIM Sports Rewind. You can catch a podcast available on the website coming up immediately following the broadcast here. Once again, KCIM Sports Rewind every Tuesday morning at 9:30 here on KCIM.
Western Iowa's news.